magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 371, recording on Friday, September 28th, starting at about 4:38 p.m. Central Time. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, you can see that on the corner of my iPad. If you're not watching the video version of the podcast, you could check out our Patreon at patreon.com/touch arcade, where you get access to a private YouTube link that shows us two idiots talking about iPhone games and... Yeah, when we get to the kind of game chat towards the end of the show, like we actually can kind of like see the games that I'm playing as we're talking about them. If you're not into Patreon, I get it. Subscriptions kind of suck. We would really love it if you would support us by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. We also do a bunch of product review kind of stuff. So if you check out the site, hit the product reviews link on the left side. Everything that's there, we've used ourselves and think is cool or, you know, otherwise. So good shit that supports the site. If you buy it, if you don't buy it, click through the links, buy some other stuff. I don't care, but, everything helps and it costs you nothing. So I really appreciate it either way. With that out of the way, what's been going on? What have you been doing this week? Anything fun, exciting, otherwise?
More dog parks and, yeah, that's it. We did a dog training session that went well, and we got a Sleep Number bed. That's a big exciting thing in my life right now.
I've slept on those before. I really like them, but I can never get over the fact that you're buying like a very expensive air mattress effectively.
Yeah, Pam is kind of, I like it a lot more than she does so far, although I think she's coming around, but she, for the same reason, she's like, I feel like when I get up, it's like getting off an air mattress. And I'm like, it is. It's like air chambers under the mattress part. Like it's a smart air mattress is what it is.
I think on paper, the whole thing's really cool. It's just a matter of like, I don't know, because they're like a grand, right?
They're much more than that. They can go up way, way, way high. But They do a lot of cool like sleep tracking stuff, which I found very interesting, and adjusting the numbers.
The bed like, itself really, does.
Yeah, that's it's cool. All connected to Wi-Fi and stuff like that, and so it tracks you in the middle of the night.
You tell me you have a Wi-Fi connected bed.
I have a smart bed that could probably get hacked, so that's cool.
Oh man.
But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It's and then we have the kind that like you can raise or lower the head or feet, and is like. I didn't realize how bad my back pain was until this week when I started waking up without it, and it's because of this bed. It's crazy. So I feel like that's been kind of the money already.
I've looked at those beds that have like the head and feet thing that go up, and I feel like that would just be a dangerous thing for me to own because I would just be like, all right, time to work. Let's raise the back up a little bit. All right, time to go back to sleep. Raise it down or lower it down.
I haven't gone down that path yet. But the guy at the bed store is like, oh, yeah, and, like, you guys have a TV in your room, right? Like, this is so perfect for propping up. It's like, oh, we don't have a TV in our room. He's like, oh, well, still prop up if you read books and stuff. And I was like, thank God we don't have a TV in our room because my parents have that, and they, like, don't leave their bed. 10% of their day is outside of their bed.
You should get a bedroom TV, man. You can get a nice, like, ours was not expensive. We have like it's crazy how cheap TVs are getting now. Like you have a, I don't know, 40 something inch, you know, nothing huge or anything. Just Samsung TV. I just looked for the one that had, you know, like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like, so I didn't need to like plug an Apple TV into it or anything. It just does it all, which, you know, the interface isn't great, but it's like, I don't care.
Whatever.
Like,
what are you doing besides Netflix or YouTube anyway?
Yeah, and it was like $300 on sale. Yeah. Which, if you buy one, you should do it through toucharcade.com/Amazon, everyone listening.
Hot plug.
I got my big news of the week is I got CarPlay installed in my car. Apple's thing. It's cool. It's very much a modern Apple product in that when it works, it's awesome. And when it doesn't, it's like, oh God, I don't even know how to fix this. I guess I'll just like turn my phone off and on again and like unplug the cable and plug it back in and stuff. So yeah, I guess like the 2004 and newer Mazdas all have the Mazda Connect system. Like so, I'm sure a lot of car manufacturers are like this, but it seems like specifically Mazda shares a lot of parts between all their cars. So like the little like I don't know what you call it, like the entertainment system on the cars, 2004 and beyond is all like identical. So any Mazda car now, you can get a upgraded like little like so you need to flash the firmware, like update the firmware on the Mazda Connect shit, and then get a different like USB plug like little box, which is universal across all the models of Mazdas, and then you just have CarPlay. So it's pretty cool. It was like the parts cost me like the new USB thing was like I don't know like $150 or something like that, and then just it's reasonably simple to get going. It was just a matter of like popping some junk off my dash and stuff to pop it in. But it's really cool. What's neat about it is that I've always like in car kind of navigation stuff always seems like super futuristic when you get it right. Like I remember when I got my Prius, it was like, oh damn, like this is awesome. Like I got maps on here, and like you can see like the energy stuff the car is using and all this stuff. And now like that car is 8 years old now, and it's like so janky comparatively. So what I like about the CarPlay stuff is that like in theory, like it should just constantly be updated and always be new and cool and working. I mean, because like the maps on my Prius are 8 years old, and it like doesn't even know that like the highway nearby got extended and like all this other stuff. So the navigation is like almost useless and stuff versus like using Waze or Apple Maps or whatever, which in theory should just be updated forever. Unless Apple, I think the only curveball there is like if Apple releases like CarPlay 2, that breaks all the existing car, but I find that to be hard to believe if they would do that. So
Not yet.
I
Maybe
don't,
someday.
but that would be a very Apple thing to do, to be like, oh, you got to buy a new car to get CarPlay 2 because it needs this, that, and the other thing. The only annoying thing so far is that I was having all sorts of weird problems with it the first day, and I was like, oh shit, like did I install this wrong or like mess something up or whatever. And I guess for whatever reason, it's like very, very reliant on having like a high quality, like Apple, like a newer Apple cable kind of thing. Which I don't know. That's so I had the short little third party cable that I got that was way better for what I was using for or using it for, and it was like crashing all the time with that. And as soon as I switched to the Apple cable, that solved the problem. So.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I don't know. It's pretty cool though. I mean, I wouldn't like rush out and like, sorry, I'm trying to plug my headphones in or they run out of batteries. Hang on. I wouldn't
Yeah,
like
I.
rush out and buy a CarPlay head unit, because the CarPlay head units are fairly expensive. It seems like like the ones I've seen like Pioneer makes are like a grand or so. But like if you're in the market for a new car, or you can do like a simple retrofit like I did on my car, I think it's worth it. It's pretty cool. It's better than the built-in nav stuff. So I don't know, different strokes for different folks and such. So I like it. Anyway, I guess we can. This is an iPhone games podcast, believe it or not, not a dog smart bed, and well, I guess CarPlay is tangentially related, but.
That really, yeah, that's part of the whole thing.
So news of the week this week, a lot of cool stuff happened. Probably the biggest story, or at least like the continuing narrative of the story that we've been talking about for a while, surrounding the Fortnite crossplay stuff. Sony actually bent on this, and you're gonna be able to play Fortnite cross-platform with Sony stuff now.
That's cool. That's good. That's the way it should have been. And I don't know. I wonder, like, I think we talked about before that Sony was probably trying to delay to make it seem like they arrived to this conclusion on their own or whatever, and it didn't have anything to do with, massive amounts of people being pissed off.
Right.
But really, that's what caused it to happen, was the huge uproar. So I don't think they're going to be, I think they're looking into being crossplay with more titles besides Fortnite, but not everything, something along this line. So there's still going to be some restrictions. It's like a
It's so
case by case
dumb. Like,
basis, something.
I should just open it up for everyone. Like, I don't see the reasoning to be like, oh, this is an exclusive Fortnite open beta thing. Like, just let people play games together. Like, I don't see the, I don't know.
I agree.
Like that, this, how much of a thing this has turned into, would probably lead me to buy whatever the next Xbox is over the next PlayStation, because
Yeah, I
Microsoft's
don't
been way
know.
cooler with stuff lately.
I think a lot of people feel the same, but I also feel like it just whoever is the market leader can be as arrogant as they want, whether it's going to be Microsoft or Sony or whoever.
Yeah.
Next console round, Xbox could be out in the lead and do something totally stupid themselves. So,
Yeah, that's
I feel like
possible.
you're always going to be fighting these battles, but it's important to speak up and do something about it, I think, because obviously it made a difference in this case.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I guess if you're bummed because your account like got or you couldn't play with your friends or whatever, that's not gonna be a thing for much longer. So yeah. The drama of the week. Did you catch wind of this yet? The iPhone XS, are we calling it Camera Gate,
I did
Smoothing Gate,
not.
Beauty
This is
Gate?
news to me.
Yeah, so apparently the front-facing camera of the iPhone X is doing like skin smoothing
Wow.
as part of its image processing,
Okay.
which has people kind of worked up.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, like I guess it seems weird. Like it's probably something you should be able to like turn off, I guess, but
So there was a mild controversy with this Samsung ad a month or two ago, where one of their features, it wasn't, I don't think it was a US commercial, it was something overseas, but part of the commercial was like this guy and his girlfriend's getting ready, and she's sitting at the little dresser in front of the mirror putting her makeup on, and he goes to like take a picture of her, and she's like, no, don't, I don't have my makeup on, and he snaps it, and Samsung's like feature was that it like adds makeup to you
Oh yeah,
in the
that's a thing.
photo or whatever. And so people were like, man, what the hell is this? Like, this is, that's not okay. Like, that's a really bad thing. Like, I guess if you wanted to make a specific like feature that you can enable that's like a skin smoothing thing, or you want to look like that, because I mean Snapchat does some weird things like that too, then maybe that's okay. But when it, to have it be on by default and just do those sort of things on its own, I feel like it's creepy and weird.
Yeah, that's called, I'm looking it up right now. It's called Beauty Mode, I believe.
That's just so bad.
It's been around for a while. I mean, like that's been a thing for years and years and years that Samsung phones do. Like, I guess it's like big in Asian territories. So for instance, I learned this really strange thing about Korea when I was there, and that like when you submit a resume or whatever, typically you also include like a headshot with it. And these
Really?
headshots are like heavily airbrushed and like other stuff like that. Like, I don't, it's just a cultural thing, I guess. I was like, that's really odd. I can't imagine like being like, all right, well, I'm gonna apply to this company. Like, I guess I gotta get my headshot done. Like,
Yeah.
unless I was doing something that like my appearance was relevant or whatever. But
Yeah.
I mean, I look like a troll, so I would be.
That just that those pictures to me just look like two different skins.
Yeah, so if
Like
you
they're
go to.
totally different colors.
So we didn't cover this on the site. It was just on Mac Rumors. I just thought it was kind of interesting because it's kind of blowing up today on like Reddit and stuff like that. That I don't know. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, people want their photos to look good. You
Yeah,
know,
I mean,
like.
if you went to a professional photographer, they do a million crazy things to make they airbrush out stuff and touch things up, and it's like normal. But I feel like if you're just taking a random, normal, everyday photo and you're not enabling any of this stuff on your own, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just strange, like the because I saw a few of the camera comparison articles when the iPhone XS like first came out, and I was like, wow, like faces look a lot like better, brighter, or something like that on it. It turns out it's like this, like weird algorithm that is actively like picking up flesh tones and like smoothing them out and stuff like that. And I don't know. It's image processing. It's kind of neat that it can do it on the fly. I'm not
It's true
not
too.
pissed about or anything. I don't know. Usually, where people really get amped up over this kind of stuff is when it like, and this happened. I can't remember the last time this happened, but like the big one I remember was some camera released a or some webcam company released a camera that would like move and like track you around, and it could based on like facial recognition, but it like only worked for white people. And there's this like huge to-do about that, like it just like not being able to pick up, like not recognizing you at all if you weren't, you know, like a fair-skinned person.
Wow,
Which
that's
I
not
don't
a
know.
great feature. That
Yeah.
tells you who built that software,
Yeah, no
though,
kidding.
right? Like,
So yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting kind of tidbit I thought with
yeah, I hadn't heard about this
worth
yet,
mentioning.
so.
So, if you got an iPhone 10 and iPhone 10s, do some back and forth of your gross pimply face and see how much better you look, I guess. So Sean last weekend was at the Tokyo Game Show and it was like overflowing with mobile game stuff. He posted a ton of things. I just kind of picked out what I thought it was like kind of the most interesting game of the bunch, which is this RPG called RPG Time, which seems like a odd title or just weird translation or something like that. Like so, but what's so interesting about this game is that it reminds me a lot of God, what was Galactic Keep, right? Is the game that was like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of dungeon crawler thing, but it looked like you were playing like a tabletop game, right? Am I imagine? Am
Yeah,
I
I think
remembering that?
so.
Yeah. So this is kind of a similar vibe in that like you're playing this RPG that basically takes place inside of like a penciled notebook. And like there's a like bunch of different drawing mechanics that go into play. Like the one example that like Sean uses, like, you know, so you have your character and needs to get up on a higher path, so you use like a pencil to like draw a ladder to
Yeah, that's rad.
give your dude something to walk up. And I don't know, it just looks I it's this is one of those things that like, you know, it screenshots really, really well and looks super cool because it's like a combination of like the pencil drawing notebook that, you know, and a bunch of papercraft stuff that makes up the game. But I'm very curious to see if the gameplay is going to stand up to this admittedly very, very cool gimmick that they're working on. So I don't know, we'll see. I'm also kind of curious, like, so if you look at the screenshots, there's like a lot of like shadows and stuff like that are created from like the real world objects on top of the notebook. And I'm curious if there's like other things that take into account, like, oh, you need to move this to create a shadow to like hide your guy, or it seems like there's just a lot of really neat things they could do. And it all sort of comes down to like, are those neat ideas going to be realized in this, or, you know, what's going to be the story? So,
The idea is really cool, so I don't know. I would like to see more.
yeah, idea is really cool. So, it's still heavily in development. Team shooting for a release date somewhere in the summer of 2019. And again, the name of the game that we're talking about is RPG Time, like two
Wow, that's
words.
not generic at all.
Yeah,
Google
I feel like that's
that.
gonna. Well, you'd probably find it if you search Touch Arcade for like TGS RPG Time or something like that. So, what else we got? This week was like the week of like games getting huge updates, it seemed like. So Meteor Fall, if you've never played that, it's a really cool kind of card game sort of deck builder from Slothworks. They added a bunch of a new difficulty mode, a bunch of new cards, and a bunch of other stuff that is really worth checking out. If you've never played the game before, this is a good time to hop in.
Yeah, the difficulty mode, it's called Demon Difficulty, and it's really interesting idea. Once you beat the game, you unlock it, and then when you choose that, you play through on Demon Difficulty, which is a harder mode, and it like basically enacts a bunch of like restrictions against you and stuff like that. And then if you beat that, you can choose like level 2 of Demon Difficulty, and it keeps all of the previous restrictions but adds more. And so the more and more you beat it in a row, like the more restrictive and hard it gets. And so it's really kind of designed for people that are super good at the game, to make their way through it like multiple times, and each new time having it be even more difficult because they like impose all this stuff on you. Really clever idea.
Yeah, it's really cool. So if you never played Meteor Fall before, it's like if you combined the concept of like card war, maybe with like a deck building game. Like, so you have very simple cards, like, attack cards and defense cards and things like that. And you, and it's kind of like a lot of the strategy of the game is, you eventually come across like additional cards you can pick up, and it's like, all right, well, do I want to pick up these cards? Like, do I need to get rid of other cards so I can actually get to the good cards in my deck? And there's a bunch of interesting decisions you make around all of that. And it's just like a really kind of like whimsical, fun art style and kind of vibe to it that reminds me a lot of like I feel like it would take them very little work to make this like an Adventure Time game.
Yeah, the art style has been compared to Adventure Time, and rightfully so, but that's not a bad thing. It looks really cool, and I kind of feel like one of the keys of this game is its simplicity. A lot of these deck building games can be too complex or whatever, and this one keeps things really simple, but not like, devoid of strategy.
That's why I really, really I fell hard for Meteor Fall when it came out, because it was like, I don't know, so many of these deck building games come out that are like ports of, like board game kind of thing. And it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's the rapid fire release cycle of iOS or whatever else, but like I just don't have it in me to like learn one of these
Same.
very complicated deck building games. And like, but I like those kind of games. It's just a matter of like, if I downloaded 20 games today and one has this like blown out extended tutorial, I'm usually like, I'll check out the next thing on my list, like kind of thing. And it's just kind of just because of the quantity of stuff that gets released. But like Meteor Fall is, it's got a very, very good difficulty curve in it. They do a really good job of kind of like making you understand the strategy of the game, and then it blowing that strategy out to kind of a crazy amount for how simple like the initial, because the initial stuff is like, here, play a card that has a higher number to kill this other card. All right, cool, you did that. Now, like, let's teach you how to heal and stuff like that. So really good game, $3. No freemium shenanigans of any kind to speak of. Nothing but good thing to say about it. So the next game that got a pretty substantial update this week is Golfing Around, which got a new 9-hole course, among some other stuff this week. So,
This game's really fun. I wasn't sure what to make of it when it first came out, but the more I kept playing it, the more I really enjoyed it. It's another game that keeps things simple, but still has like a lot of strategy into it, and it just feels good playing it on mobile, which I feel like you could do it poorly on touch screens doing a game like this, and
I
they
feel
pretty
like
much nailed it. So
Colin Lane can also not make a bad game.
yeah.
Like, I don't know what deal he made, or monkey's paw wish he made, or whatever else, but dude makes really good stuff. And cool thing about Golfing Around, it's just an ad-based game, right? That doesn't have any shenanigans beyond a
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, you can just pay to
no
remove the
ads.
ads, and that's it.
Yeah, it's like $2 or $3 to get rid of the ads, and you're good to go. But otherwise, you could play forever free if you wanted to just put up with some ads and stuff, which is
And I've never delved into it, but there's a course creator too, or like a hole creator. And so there's a whole community of people that are creating holes that you can string together into like your own courses and stuff. And so there's like an unlimited amount of content, really, if you want to dive into that sort of stuff. I just kind of enjoy trying to improve my scores on the existing golf courses, but if you wanted to, you could go nuts with that stuff.
That's cool. So yeah, definitely check out Golfing Around if you haven't played it yet. If you have and it's forgotten in a folder somewhere, like, this update's definitely worth revisiting it. Continuing the theme of huge updates this week is Villagers and Heroes, which is a pretty cool mobile MMO. Got a really big update this week with the Wrath of the Black Thrush expansion. This game has an overwhelming amount of content in it anyway. Particularly for like a free, pretty good mobile MMO. Just redesigned stuff, new storage system, new more higher level content, and all sorts of other stuff for you to check out. There's really It's been kind of wild. Like the mobile MMO thing has kind of taken me by surprise, as it's like kind of grown into its own thing with like oh God, what was the Netmarble one that had the autoplay that made everyone so mad? I played the shit out of
Lineage
it for
2.
Lineage 2. I played the shit out of that for a couple months. And is Order and Chaos still going?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but like it's It's pretty cool that like we're starting to get these like a real deal, like full-blown game experiences on mobile, if, like for people that are into MMOs, and like RuneScape, old school RuneScape's hitting October, what, 20th, something like that, later in the month, next month, and that's going to be off the chain too. I mean, like, actually just got a code in my email to check out the RuneScape stuff, so I need to get into that. But yeah, so the action platformer Grim Valor, which I believe we posted about a couple times, right? It's got a release date, October 10th, and they're doing something kind of cool in that if you pre-order it, you get a 30% discount, which I don't know. That seems like a neat way to approach the pre-order thing.
It sort of feels like how it should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, our criticism of the pre-order thing, it always has consistently been like they're not going to run out of digital copies of a game. So, like, what reason do you have to not wait for reviews and other stuff to just download it whenever? But I really dig like the whole like, oh, well, if you pre-order it, you have a pretty sizable discount.
And I don't think this is going to be one you're going to need to wait for reviews. I think that it's going to be a good game. It's from the people that made Sordigo. And in this game, from the people who have been beta testing, is basically Sordigo, but with Dark Souls and super good graphics all mashed together.
Yeah,
And
so it's
so that's pretty much
$5
sells
pre-order.
me.
If
It's only
you,
five? Yeah,
yeah,
that's
five
crazy.
bucks. So yeah, cool, very cool, very really looking forward to this. Like the gifs and stuff and the videos that have been posted are like really awesome. It's like one of those games, and these don't come along too often, where like if you showed me some of these images, I'd be like, oh, that's neat. It's coming to Switch or PS4. Or like, what's the deal? And it's like, oh no, it's a mobile game. So that's pretty
I can't
cool.
wait for this game.
But yeah, no, our forums are excited for it. The, you know, everything seems really cool about this. And $5, if you like premium games, definitely check out Grim Valor on the App Store. Let's see. So, Iron Marine's got a huge update. They added a new planet and a bunch of other content. If you've never played this game before, it's I don't know. It's like the closest thing to like a mobile StarCraft, I
Yeah, you
think,
could say
right?
that. I would say it's more, it feels like it's from the Kingdom Rush developers, and I feel like it feels like a Kingdom Rush game, and there's definitely a lot of tower defense sort of elements in it.
But it's a lot of RTS elements too. Like, it's really
Yeah, it's
clever how they hit
more
everything.
RTS than tower defense, but it definitely feels like a hybrid. And it's just so well done. It's so polished, just like the Kingdom Rush games, and works extremely well on touchscreen too, which has always been kind of a sticking point for RTS games on mobile, because it can be difficult to kind of manage a bunch of different units and stuff with touchscreens and fat fingers or whatever. So I feel like they really nailed it with this. And kind of the only knock against the game when it came out was that it was that people wanted more of it. So here's more of it a year
Yeah.
later.
Well, I'd like to actually revisit this too, because actually looking at the review, I remember like the things I didn't like about it was that like some of the missions are fairly long for mobile, and there wasn't any kind of like checkpointing at the time I reviewed it, and I don't know if that's the case now, but it was really fucking brutal when you spent like, you know, it like got to the end and got overwhelmed and was like, all right, well, I guess I'll
30 minutes
s
later.
start this whole thing over. That's neat.
Yeah, I think that they definitely did a couple passes of balancing to kind of smooth over some of the difficulty spikes.
Yeah, that's
But I don't
because it
know if there's
definitely,
checkpoints here.
when I was playing this for review, like I remember there was, I mean, don't get me wrong, I had a really good time with that. That's why I rated it 5 stars, and I think still think it's a really cool game. But like, there were some early difficulty spikes. You're just like, what the hell am I doing wrong? Like, I just don't understand. Like, I'm just losing. You know, so yeah, it's always nice when game gets such a good game gets more content. So definitely check that out. So Super Cat Tales 2, we have posted about, this would be the, I wrote it in the article here, this is the seventh time we've posted about this game this year,
Well,
for a good
they've made it
reason.
pretty easy because they keep doing these really cool dev diary videos. And so every time a new one would come out, I'd always want to post about it because they're so interesting.
Yeah, but so if you never played Super Cat Tales, it's a really, really, really well-done platformer. Which again is like, I would, if this game was on like Switch or something, I would be like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. was cool. And so it's nice that it's on mobile and everything else. So kind of like the art style is, it kind of gives me like a Bonk's Adventure kind of vibe.
Yeah, I could see that. It's definitely been heavily influenced by like Mario World and Mario 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the other crazy thing about this is they designed a really interesting touchscreen control scheme for the first game, which a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people just want virtual pad and buttons and they're fine. But they kind of went and really thought about how to make like a really unique control system that allows you to do all the sort of things you'd want to do in a platformer, but just with using just the touchscreen and no virtual button stuff. And they did it. It takes a little warming up to, but once you do, you feel like you can do everything you ever wanted to do in a platformer perfectly fine, and you don't need to mess with virtual buttons. So I always thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, I think the problem with that though is that like still even like 10 years after the App Store launched or whatever, like there hasn't been like a really good like standardized like, oh, this is how you do a platformer on
Yeah.
mobile. And it's always been kind of awkward how like you'll have these different developers like these dudes come out and make a very good platformer, but the control scheme to some people is like, I don't know, this is just weird. Like I can't wrap my head around this. I wish you said virtual
Yeah.
controls or whatever. And I guess I'm just kind of surprised that like for how mature of a platform iOS is that there hasn't like that problem hasn't been solved.
Well, it's weird too because you have to, people like us, it's like you have to rewire 30 years worth of playing like Mario games and stuff. And so anything that's a little different than that is like a really uphill battle. But I think it's worth sticking with. I mean,
Do you
other games
remember
have tried.
specifically how it worked? I think it was like an auto run and you tap to jump or like swipe
In
to
this
change
game, yeah,
direction
you
or
like
something like that.
hold down on the sides of the screen to run, and then you can run up walls, and then I think you touch the other side at the same time to jump off the walls. And I don't remember the specifics, but it's definitely kind of a tricky finger play little dance that you do with your thumbs that once you get used to it, it works super fine. And then you feel like, okay, like, yeah, this should be how all platformers work. But unfortunately, I'm just so used to, D-pad and buttons for decades that it's hard to get used to, but.
I don't know, but yeah, so Super Cat Tales is coming out on October 4th. But
Next
more
week.
realistically, it probably I wouldn't surprise me if it comes out like says so Thursday next week, which means it'll probably hit the App Store very early Wednesday or Tuesday night even. So
Yeah.
I don't know. The App Store release dates are getting kind of weird with stuff like that. So another upcoming game that we're super excited for is Hamsterdam, which got a pretty lengthy gameplay trailer showing all the crazy shit that you can do in this game.
Yeah.
So how would you even describe this? Like a hamster beat 'em up sort of.
Yeah. It's kind of like what we were just talking about. It's like a beat 'em up game that they designed specifically for like touchscreen. And so the combat, it's not really like walk around and punch people like Final Fight or something. It's sort of like you square up against some enemies and then you perform different sort of like gestures to do attacks. And then mixed into that, they'll throw in like some like sort of quick time event type things, like tap a button really fast or swipe this direction and then that direction. And it's almost sort of like a mixture of a rhythm game. And
Yeah,
so
like
that's sort of how the combat works.
when I watched this trailer the first time, it was giving me like real like Elite Beat Agent kind
Yeah, that's
of
it reminds me of that. So yeah, it's something, it's kind of like that, but then this trailer does a good job of showing that there's more to it than just kind of like beating people up, that there's a lot of crazy little mini games kind of mixed in, and it just seems like a really like almost like cartoon like game. Like it's got a lot of like personality, kind of like, I don't know, I think of like sort of the 16-bit platformers like the Mickey's Magical Quests and things like that, where there was like certain set pieces of, you running from a boulder or something like that. I feel like there's like a lot of cool things like that in this game, where there's like some really dramatic scenes and stuff like that. So I don't know. Hopefully it all comes together to make like one really cool game. But just on the surface, I was always really impressed with kind of their control scheme that they came up with for, touchscreen beat 'em up. That's not just, again, just virtual buttons.
God, I hate the chum box ads we run on the site. I think
Yeah.
these are part of Disqus or whatever. Yeah, like these weather girls will make you think a storm is coming. U.S. cardiologists, it's like a pressure wash for your insides. Like fucking,
So bad.
I listened to a podcast about like so the ads are talking about is like the block of six links between the articles and the comments and stuff, which are like normal shit for the internet now.
Yeah.
I listened to an episode of Reply All about these actual ads. Like what people, there's all these different places on the internet where people are paid to write these ridiculous stories that, and the reason they exist is because people click them, like 100%. Because someone will be like, "Oh, Weather Girls, hell yeah, let me see this story."
Yeah.
And yeah, like so the podcast episode of Reply All specifically was about like most of these things are they're not bullshit typically. Like they have like a root story that like went viral on Reddit or whatever else.
Yeah.
And like the Reply All episode specifically was about this guy who, I don't remember, like his wife like had this like really crazy like cancer battle or something. Like his wife eventually died, right? But like the Chumbox ads were something like, you know, oh, this heartbreaking story of husband and wife will leave you in tears or something like that. And it was like a picture of his wife. Mm-hmm. And it was like everywhere on the internet. And there was like nothing this dude could do to like get the different ad networks to like take this down, because it was like, it's like a labyrinth of finding like who the people even are.
Yeah.
That you talk to and stuff. So anyway,
that sucks.
Annoying aside about internet ads. So Paco 2 got updated as well, continuing the update train. This game is really freaking good if you've never played.
I love this game.
So it's a sequel to Paco Car Chase Simulator. And yeah. Paco 2 is basically better in just about every way. It's $2.
Yeah.
I think it launched on Steam first, right? Like it's
a few months before, yeah.
Yeah. So really cool game where you basically just drive a car for as long as you can without getting crashed into or crashed into something else, more or less.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you ever stole a car in front of cops in GTA and just had fun like trying to evade them for as long as possible and just causing all sorts of mayhem in the process. It's like a game that's that, and the whole game is that, and it's awesome. But yeah, it just gets progressively harder. Paco 2 is kind of a little bit different. The first one was just evading the cops as long as you can, and eventually you die. And if you ran into anything, that was game over. And Paco 2 is more like you get these delivery missions, almost like Crazy Taxi, where you'll go pick up your little heist buddies who just pulled off a job, and then you got to get them to a safe house somewhere else on the map. And so you're just constantly delivering people. And as you're doing that, like the heat with the cops chasing you gets, you know, greater and greater. And you kind of see how long you can last doing that. But it's cool because you can actually take a little damage in this one, and your little passenger buddies can fire back at the cops and kind of protect you from them a little bit. So I've noticed in Paco 2, like I end up playing like a single game session much longer than in the first game, which I think is fun. But I also think they're both kind of unique enough from each other that I keep them both around because they're both still super fun in their own ways.
I don't know. I think the second one is way better.
Yeah, it's definitely more action-packed, but
the addition,
they both are super stylish, too. So.
Well, the addition of, like, the like exactly what you're talking about, where you actually have to, like, pick up your dudes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
A little more goal-oriented.
Yeah, like, I had fun with the first one, but it definitely, like, you get to a point where it's like, all right, well, I'm just going to crash because I've been playing for so long that, like, I don't know. And, you know, it's just getting kind of crazy. But so definitely check out the new update if you forgot about this game, you already own it. If you don't already own it, it's really good. Like, check out some trailers of it, or you know, we made a game of the week and have talked about a bunch on the podcast and other stuff like that. So it's really good. So if you're playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, you might already know this, but doing a Halloween event, which I don't know. This is always my favorite part of Animal Crossing proper on the DS and 3DS, is like all the holiday stuff. So you know, if you want to get involved in the Halloween stuff and get some unique decorations for your campsite, you have from these dates are not formatted in American style. So you have, I think this is from the 28th, so today until the first half. I don't know. It's happening soon. It's happening now.
Let go in the game, it'll tell you.
Check it out. And yeah, I don't know. I still wish the mobile Animal Crossing was better.
I stopped playing it. Yeah, it doesn't.
Like, I don't know. It's just like not Animal Crossing enough for me, and a little too free to play gamey for me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Last story I have to talk about is so you posted this, say the Crossy Road dev hipster whale in Mighty Games, who was they made Charming Runes and Charming
They
Keep and
also made
stuff.
Shooty Skies, if you remember Shooty Skies. It's a pretty popular Crossy Road take on like a shoot 'em up.
You know, can I just say that really chaps my ass that Charming Runes didn't get more
Yeah.
fanfare compared
Yeah.
to what was the game that just recently came out that was like Charming Runes, but everyone was like, it was like they had the right group of indie developers tweeting about it, so everyone was like, oh my
Oh
god,
yeah.
this is like the fucking coolest thing ever, like everyone should play this, this is so innovative.
It was from the Rimmed Capsule guy. I can't In the Loop? Was that what it was called?
No,
I forget, but I know what you're talking about,
I
yeah.
have it on my iPhone, I think. Let me, this is really gonna bother me to not know the name of this stupid thing.
But I hate defaulting to comparing these games to Balls with a Z, but that's the n game that
Hold
made everyone
down,
know.
hold down,
Hold down. Yeah,
lowercase
hold down.
hold down, lowercase h, hold down.
Hold down. Yeah, that was kind of the same sort of thing. It's a brick breaker, but you get to shoot multiple balls, and then the blocks that you break, each one has a number on it, and so it takes a certain number of ball hits to actually break it. And then they're slowly lowering down, like Tetris style too. So if you don't break them in time, you'll lose the game or whatever. Really a cool take on a brick breaker, and I feel like the games like that have been around before balls hit the. Became like a sensation last year. And then from that point on, everyone had their own sort of take on that
Well,
variety of
so
ball breaker.
what's your take on Piffle then, which seems to be also very similar?
That it's another one of those, but super free to play and super cute. And I think this one will be, it'll kind of, its longevity will be kind of unlocking and customizing all these crazy different cats that you use. That are actual, the balls in the game are actual little cats, and so you can unlock different kinds and stuff like that. And but other than that, it just works kind of in the same way as all the others. You move from one level to the next, they get kind of progressively harder. Some of them take specific tactics to kind of take down the blocks before they crush you or whatever. It's a very good, polished version of that style game. So I feel like if you don't have one of those in your life right now, that this will be a good option when it comes out next week. But also, I don't know. I haven't run across anything that's like changes the game of balls, the balls game yet. So, but it looks awesome. It's fun.
I don't know. It seems neat. I guess we'll see what happens with that. So, game discussion this week. A lot of cool shit hit the App
Too
Store
much
as
bullshit.
usual. I think probably the highest profile thing is probably this Dragalia Lost. How do we think we pronounce that? You think
I've been
that's
saying
right?
Dragalia,
Yeah.
Dragalia, Dragalia. I think I've been saying
Dragalia.
in my head. I don't
So
think I've said it out loud yet.
it's a
So,
collab between, yeah, it's usually the problem. It's a collab between Nintendo and Psy Games.
yeah.
Oh shit, I wonder if I link my stuff, if my
It should be able to
progress
transfer
will.
junk or.
Let's see here. Oh yeah, game data has continued. So this game, the polish, well, so it's kind of weird. It's not. It's like downloadable in a lot of regions, but not playable yet in a bunch of
Yeah, it's
regions.
really a weird rollout. Like they announced this during the direct for this, so it's not like it should be a surprise. But I think it's taken a lot of people by surprise because they're like, well, if it's out in the US, why wouldn't it be in Canada or why wouldn't it be in the UK or
Yeah,
whatever?
usually it's
And
backwards,
so,
right? Like,
yeah, so it's more of a soft launch. It's in like Taiwan and I think Singapore and like several Asian countries and then the US. So for whatever reason, we're part of this small rollout set of countries. So it feels like, yeah, it's out, but then there's so many people that are in like Canada or UK or wherever that are like, it's not out and I can't play it and are kind of annoyed by that. So hopefully they don't hold it back for too much longer. I don't really know what else they need to do with this to do like a worldwide rollout,
yeah.
but yeah, so technically it's in soft launch right now, so.
It's really cool so far. And so it's interesting how closely the progress syncs between the two. So I was actually in the middle of the cutscene when I quit playing on my phone, because there's a lot of cutscenes in this game and they're pretty long. And I was like, oh, I don't have time for this right now. And so when I just loaded it up on my iPad, like it was direct, like exactly where I was in that cutscene, which is cool. Like that level of save game syncing is pretty sweet. So basically, the story of this game is the world's been taken over by some kind of ultimate evil monster sort of thing. You play as a ragtag group of like warrior types, and the kind of hook is the cadence between you just sort of doing typical action RPG sort of brawling kind of stuff, and then you using a few like super moves that you have that are on pretty long cooldowns, and one of which is like your ultimate super move, which is turning into a dragon. Which when you do that, like you have a huge like area effect, like damage burst, and then you know your dude does just like tons more damage and all this other stuff. And I don't know, the story is kind of nonsensical, sort of. I don't know. But one nice thing, like one quality of life thing that I really like about it is, and I wish more games did this, is that like when you're in the middle of a cutscene, you can hit like the text log and like go through and like read everything that was said between all those characters in that cutscene, which I don't know, I think it's pretty nice because there's like I've definitely been zoned out before in RPGs where I'm just like hitting next, you know, like hey, let's get through this. And I'm like, oh wait, I think I missed something important, like where I should go or something like that. And it's really neat to be able to just like go through and read everything that happened if you did miss something. I haven't really gotten across anything in a cutscene where it's like super vital information or whatever, so I don't know how important that's going to be in the future. But really cool. And so the controls of this work outstandingly well. And my only real complaint with it is that it is portrait mode only. And like I feel like this is the kind of game that, and I get it. Like this is high on the list of like next time someone emails us is like, what's a cool game that I can play that's got like good 3D graphics that is one-handed? Like Dragalia Lost is that game. But I don't know, like just this kind of game, like I want to like turn my stuff sideways and like really get into it, you know, with like two thumbs instead of like the weird aspect ratio you get when you're playing in portrait mode. So I'm just going to skip this cutscene. The summary is the woman mask falls away, revealing she could be Zathia's twin. However, she vanishes before the mystery is solved. The prince and friends celebrate the new dragon pact, but the dragon tells them the pact is temporary before asking the prince's name. All right, yeah, cool. Just make my guy named Eli. All right. God, get me back to the freaking game.
That's a I can't stand the dialogue in this game because you can't skip it as fast as you might want to.
I need additional data download. Download size 2.93 megabytes. Yeah, just
Oh, so here's a hot tip for this game. So every once in a while it bugs you that it needs to download something, and it's always bite-sized little a couple
yeah, like that,
megabits
like two point
stuff.
like three megs. Like, dude,
So
I've uploaded photos that are bigger than that.
you can
Like,
go into the options screen and do a batch download, and it's like 500 megs without voices to just download all that crap all at
oh,
once, and then
cool.
it won't bug you anymore.
So the good news is this game's pretty cool when you play it. The bad news is it is very, very, very free to play. With like every free to play shenanigan imaginable, from like daily login bonuses to you know, all this other like you know, you get this menu right on of like, oh, here's all the fucking events you're running and all this other dumb shit. And because it sucks, because like the tutorial of this game, you're like, oh wow, like this is a really cool like kind of like dungeon crawly sort of like beat 'em up kind of thing. And then you get to this and it's like, guess what? It's another free to play game. And it's a super free to play game.
I feel bad because like I've gotten into games like this before, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. But I also am so over it at this point. And like you, I was like played through all the tutorial stuff and was like, I really like this. Like this works really well and it's fun. The combat's fun and the characters, I'm digging that. And then it just dumps you that screen where you're just like, oh God, like
Yeah.
this
And
menu
like
screen is just
everyone
ugh.
knows the same menu screen. It's like the free to play game menu screen where it's like all your currencies and here's where you do the gotcha shit and here's where you upgrade your dudes and
And I feel bad, but it instantly was like, I don't even know if I want to play this
No,
anymore.
I'm the same way. Like it is a instant turn off for me.
Yeah, it
It's
sucks.
like this is like the game equivalent to like you being at a bar, like meeting a really cool girl, talking to her, and then her having her be like, oh, I'm gonna go out and like smoke a cigarette now. Which I guess you're a smoker, so like that's, but still, like for me, I was like, oh, come on. But yeah, like that's what this menu is to me. So like you got all your fucking teams and like God, I and like The problem with like where it hits you with like, all right, let's teach you all the free to play stuff is like, so you go through the initial tutorial where you like basically just teaching like how to battle and stuff, and you're having like a really good time, and you have this really cool boss fight. Like you, it's part of the boss fight. Like you get your first dragon summon, and like everything's super cool. And it's like, all right, let's teach you how you spend money in this mofo because got to do that.
I love that there's like a every free-to-play game has like a super dramatic animation for like unlocking a loot box too. This game is no
This one,
different.
yeah, it's like this like a cleric summons your guy from this. Like, here's another ridiculous download. Like one point, it's asking me if I want to download 1.49 megabytes worth of stuff, which I could have just downloaded it faster than like it even rendered this pop-up. Especially on like Wi-Fi or even on cellular. Cellular is fine. Like I don't care. Do you download whatever you want?
Go to options, do the batch download. Thank me later.
I will. I will. All right, we're gonna skip this giant cutscene too, and hopefully get to some actual gameplay so we can talk about how that all works.
Yeah, I don't want to say I want to give up on this game just yet, but I don't know that I'm going to stick with it.
Well, dude,
Like,
it's got. Oh my God, it's
you
got
still
like
can't get to
every freemium shenanigan. Like, there's an energy system, multiple premium currencies, like weird like gifting system, the daily login stuff, like events out the butt. I don't even know what's happening now. Like, let me just play. Let me play this game. All right.
Begin quest.
I think I might
Surely
be.
that will get you to
Well, that's what
the
we thought before. And I was like, hang on a second. Let's build your team. All right, yeah, cool. We're finally in the game. So, the way you control it is pretty cool. Like, it's just a single joystick sort of thing. You move your guy around, and then when you are near guys, you just tap the screen, and your dude attacks. And you have a party of people that follow you around and sort of like auto battle behind you. And I don't have like as you collect these like as you kill enemies, you collect these like weird little. If I would have watched the cutscene, I'd probably know what they're called. But like these like I will say dragon crystals for lack of a better way to put them in, like that's how you summon your dragon transformation thing is by like storing up these dragon crystals and then using them. So I don't know. So if you just showed me like this gameplay part of like, all right, well it's a one thumb or a one touch kind of brawler kind of, especially with like the mini map thing in the corner that kind of like leads you to believe there's going to be like, you know, sort of like randomized stuff that's kind of like Diablo like you're super into it, right? And then you just hit the free to play menu and absolute endless cutscenes with dialogue for days and everything else. So I don't know, it really bums me out that I couldn't have just paid, you know, 10 or $20 or whatever for this game.
I mean, it is what it is. I think it's well done for what it is. And if you like these free-to-play gacha games, it's a super good one. I mean, it's Nintendo, so I think it'll be popular, but it's just hard for me to get excited about.
Yeah. Well, so
But I
the
do
one
realize a lot of people have been having fun with it, so.
The neat thing about the battle mechanic too that I forgot to mention is the way enemy attacks work is kind of like Crashlands, in that like you like it'll attack you, but it like renders where it's going to attack like on the actual. Here, I'll transform to a dragon so people watching the video thing can see what that looks like. So like it creates these like little red spots that's like where the dude's gonna attack. So if he's gonna do like a charge attack, you see like, you know, a red kind of like line and stuff. If he's gonna do like a you know area effect thing, there's like red circles and stuff. And it's basically name of the game is don't stand in red shit, more or less. But yeah, so I just clear the quest and I got all sorts of free to play rewards, and it asked me to do something about like my friends, which I don't have any in the game, but I guess there's like a whole bunch of like multiplayer sort of stuff that you can do. Look at this. So this is straight up fucking absurd. View this story segment.
0.05.
Additional data is required to proceed. Download size 0.05 megabytes. I'm gonna screenshot this. This is so stupid.
Like, yeah, is that okay with you that we download this huge file?
I
Like, why wasn't that downloaded in the first place?
for like I don't understand like why it's not downloading the stuff in the background like while I play. Like usually games that have like a small download size that have a bunch of other shit that you download, like it'll ask you like, oh, can I download stuff in the background or whatever? And then it just grabs those files.
It's super
Instead of
weird.
like hitting a point where it's like, can we download this like 50 kilobyte file is bananas. All right, well, I just picked up a new party member. I got some more freemium funny money. So I don't know. It's this game is simultaneously cool and bums me out,
Yeah, same.
which I guess is kind of the story of modern mobile games in a way. So I don't know. Like I still recommend everyone check out Tregalia Lost. Like if you've got a modern device that can play 3D games, it's at least worth checking out like what Nintendo is up to on mobile. But I definitely would not blame anyone if they saw the typical free to play menu and were like, yeah, no, I'm out hard on this.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame.
Because like yeah, I mean like it's the amount of shit you can buy in this is just also just kind of bananas. So I don't know. This is interesting. This is the first time I've seen this in a free-to-play store. So there's like bigger bundles of stuff that I guess are a cheaper price, but you can only buy them once a week. So like
Oh, huh.
you can get, so for instance, you can get 75 of the premium currency once weekly for 99 cents, whereas the no limit 99 cent buy gets you 48 of the premium currency.
That is weird. I don't think
It's
I've
kind
seen
of
that
an
either.
interesting thing because, like, it kind of plays with your lizard brain, and you're like, oh shit, my stuff refreshed for the week. I gotta buy my
Yeah.
best value sort of thing. So, I don't know. I haven't posted anything about this on the site yet, 'cause both first of all because it's like not available everywhere, and second of all because like I just don't. I'm like so torn on this game. Like
Yeah.
if I had someone sitting next to me and like anytime it hit like the free to play menu, I was like, here you go, deal with this. And they gave it back to me when it was like time to play. I would love it. Like it would be the coolest thing ever. But I just do not have it in me to do this whole like upgrade all your guys to 6 gold stars and like randomly do the gotcha bullshit to keep getting your dudes summoned. All right, so here we need 1500 Wurmite or Dimantium to perform 10 summons. So let's figure out how much is 1500. 1500, $31.99 to summon 10 dudes in this game.
Yeah, wow.
That's bananas. I don't know. Maybe you get your daily discounted summon for only 30, which 30 is what, like a dollar? Yeah. Well, a little less than a dollar. So I don't know. It's this kind of shit bums me out. So let's switch to a different game. Bacon the game. We play this?
The game of the year, you mean?
This is really, I like so I if you follow me on well, I guess not Twitter anymore, Mastodon is the new hotness. You likely know that my sense of humor is deep in the absurdist world. So Bacon the game is really pushing all my buttons. So like it starts out the first so it's like so I guess to back up, we should describe like how Pancake the game works.
Yeah.
So Pancake the game is like you just have a pancake on a pan and you see how many times you can flip it. Right? Am I describing that correctly? Or I think you okay, yeah.
Harder than it sounds.
Way harder than that sounds, because it's like one of those like weird like janky physics games. And like your only input is like tapping the screen to flip the pan up. So it's pretty tricky. So this is a similar mechanic, but the way the game works is you have someone that drops a piece of bacon on your pan, and then you need to flip the bacon into, or rather
Onto
onto
any object,
the object. So
basically.
the first one is like put bacon on a cheeseburger, which makes sense, right? So, well, here, let me go back to number two. I was trying to start at the beginning to not really have any spoilers. So next one, you need to put bacon on pancakes. So you just like stack of pancakes and you just like flip your bacon up onto the pancakes, which again is way harder than it sounds because like the bacon is all weird and everything like that. So then let's go to number three, which is a pina colada. So, oh shit, here's an this is my I have to watch an ad. Game's got a considerable amount of ads.
Yeah, I see a lot of people asking for ad removal in app purchase, and none of his games actually have those, which is kind of a bummer. So I don't know. Maybe he's pretty good at listening to people, though, so maybe he'll implement that
There,
into.
yeah, I really like this. It's very silly and very fun, but like these 30-second ads, like,
It's a little much for such a simple game. But
yeah.
what's beautiful about Bacon and Pancake and Burger the Game, which is the trilogy of food flipping games from Cami-Box, is that the physics in them are so good. It's like something about it makes you want to keep trying and playing. And I don't know what it is, this physics engine, and the bacon is especially is so wacky and like jiggly and slimy. And, like, it just has these really weird properties that even though these three games are so similar, they all feel totally different from each other, which I think is cool. So.
I cannot. So the level I'm on right now, I have to get like bacon up on the salad, and I'm just like not doing it.
This one's really funny too, because the objects that you're flinging bacon onto just get increasingly weird.
Yeah,
What are
like
you
one of them
doing?
is like put bacon on like this stock chart and stuff, and then
Yeah.
like one of them is like put bacon on the camera permission prompt, and like it prompts the camera permission thing, and the next one it actually like uses like your camera to put you in the middle of a Mona Lisa. So food hack number 14 is put bacon on an honest review. So like right under this is a one star review. It says some levels are hard and some are super easy. WTF, with my game center name next to it. Next one is put bacon on the Chinese character for pleasure. Like all these, like, and this is just kind of like how it goes. Like I don't know how many levels there are, but like they just are.
I think there's 100.
They're all just like super duper absurd, and like Jared was saying, like some of them are super easy, and others are just like, what in the hell? How do I even do this? Because like sometimes you have to like get the bacon like bouncing on like its like tail end, I guess, if
Yeah.
that's a thing you could use to describe a piece of bacon, to kind of get like additional height, because it's got like a springiness to it. I don't know, and I can't say enough good things about this. I don't want to spoil too much more of like the silly stuff, because like as I was going through it, I was like really enjoying like just how
Yeah, that's
absurd it
half the
was
fun.
getting. So definitely download Bacon the Game if you enjoy it. I would check out Pancake and Burger the Game.
Get them all, get the entire trilogy.
Like so, yeah. Number 16 is put bacon on Francis Bacon, which I don't know. I really like this game. Definitely check it out. So we got time for like one more, I think. Like, which of these that I got do you wanna talk about?
I don't know. We could talk about that hook game, Hooky Crook.
Hook crook. All right.
This is so I'm always on the lookout for hook swinging games because of Hook Champ and Super Quest Quick Hook and Hook Worlds, all the Rocket Cat hooking games from back in the day. And so this one, you're a cat burglar that's literally a cat, and what you're doing is you're breaking into these, secure rooms that are hiding these giant jewels that you want to steal, and swinging your way there because the floors are covered in those laser beam alarm systems or whatever that you see in movies all the time. And so what you do is it's interesting because you're actually the goal is to try and swing yourself to the jewel as quick as possible. So it's almost like a speed running hook swinging game, and the hooking mechanics are actually really good in that you don't necessarily there's kind of predetermined hooking points spread throughout the level. You don't necessarily have to hook on to all of them. Like in a lot of times, you'll want to skip one, and you'll be able to like latch onto it in a way that flings you a lot faster or whatever. And so, kind of the fun in the game is figuring out the absolute quickest way to get yourself to that drool. Because once you hit that drool, the timer stops, and then you're graded 3 stars based on how quickly you get there, but you're also graded points, which is a much like more granular sort of rating system. And so if you're super duper fast, you can get even more points in addition to getting 3 stars or whatever. And then you unlock stuff based on like your total amount of points, and there's leaderboards and stuff like that. So it's like, at a basic level, if you're like the type that's like, I like to 3-star every level, cool, you can do that, and that's like one goal. But if you're like a crazy competitive speed runner, there's like no limit, I don't think, to how like perfect you can perfect a level and how fast you can complete it or whatever. And that I feel like you could be doing just forever, competing on times for that sort of stuff. But yeah, the levels get a little more complex as you go, and introduce things like different, like there's bouncy pads that you can land on, and they'll spring you forward. That, different things like that that kind of break up just all the swinging. But by and large, this is just a swinging game. But it's a single tap one. It's playing portrait, and so it's kind of nice. It's like it's one of those games that you don't have to think super hard about, and you can just kind of play and also space out at the same time,
Yeah,
which to me is like a bonus.
this is really cool. I
It's
dig
really
this.
fun.
It's almost like it reminds me. Remember Crescent Moon's Slingshot Racing? Like
It is a lot
that's
like
kind
that.
of the mechanic is sort of similar to that, in that you're just like pulling on these like hook points basically.
Another cool thing that I noticed is that when you're playing, like sometimes you're frantically just trying to speed through and beat the level. And sometimes things go wrong. And then you're sort of like grasping at straws at like how you can just not die. And so a bunch of different times I've like screwed up, but not been out of the game yet, like not lost the level. And so you'll like do some weird miraculous thing that even though it's like the slowest completion time ever, you actually complete the level still and don't die. And like that's a really satisfying feeling too, when you can kind of pull something out of your ass and make it all work. So that's kind of a neat aspect of this game too.
Oh, that's
But
awesome.
yeah, it's a surprisingly cool little game.
Yeah, so it's called Hooky Crook.
Hooky crook, because you're a crook and you're
And
hooking.
I think it's a buck or two, right?
I think it's free and you can disable ads for $2 or $3, something like that. The ads are, I think, every 4 or 5 levels, which I did because I like this game. But
So
yeah.
one interesting piece of trivia, did we mention that it's made by the developers that did the what was it? The Stranger Things Netflix game?
Yeah, bonus XP.
Which is pretty good. And that game was really, really good. So if you also haven't played the Stranger Things game, you should definitely check that out because it is shockingly good for a free game. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for this week. Really appreciate everyone that listened to this podcast. Again, the games that we talked about at length anyway, are Dragalia Lost, the new Nintendo game, Bacon the Game, and Hooky Crook. So definitely check out all three of those really cool games. If you enjoyed this podcast, I really appreciate if you leave an iTunes review. If you want to send us an email for any reason, it's podcast@touchrk.com. And if you want to support Touch Arcade's continued existence, we'd appreciate it if you check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade, or just do your Amazon shopping through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. With that, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.